You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. It's the WNBA playoff time. The season has come to its close, and we're going to be looking at the season a little bit and a little bit at the postseason. Pleased to welcome back to Dishin' and Swishin' right now from Seattle Storm, Sue. Sue, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking a few minutes. So, you know, Sue, it's been an interesting season. The team started out a little bit on the slow side, but it finished strong, and there were a lot of good things mixed in with the rest of the season.
When everything's said and done, you know, we didn't make the playoffs, and, I know we're going to look back on this season and see that it was a little bit of a roller coaster ride for us. But hopefully we can just learn from it and, take those lessons and move forward and move on to next year.
I said the Western Conference this year, you know, you've seen a lot of teams come and go, a lot of different conference battles. But this may be, I think, the best overall top-to-bottom Western individual conference I've seen.
The West was, once again, very strong this year. And I think on any given night, obviously Phoenix separated themselves a little bit, as did Minnesota to some degree. But, on any given night, any team could have beat the other. And overall, it's kind of weird, and I think that's why you see some of these records. I mean, I think only three teams in the whole WNBA had winning records. Some would argue that that's not good, but the other argument is everybody's beating each other, so it means it's pretty equal.
So if you were to put you on the spot a little bit, if you were looking at Phoenix and Minnesota, the top two teams left, what separated them? What makes them a little bit different? Obviously the talent is spectacular, but
yeah.
Just individually, you got Maya Moore, Diana Taurasi. I mean, what makes those two teams better than everybody else?
Obviously, if you just look on paper, they're two extremely talented teams. I mean, two teams that, each of them have three all-stars, potentially could have had more in a different world. and it's teams that have MVP players and that also have all-stars and the other players to complement that. Minnesota obviously is a team that has won. They won last year. They're the reigning champ. And, clearly they have a system and, a roster that allows them to be successful. And Phoenix, this is a team that, last year they probably could. I think last year everybody picked them to win. And they went through some ups and downs, had some injuries. And then you see, they have a new coach in Sandy Brundle, who I think is doing a great job. And they were able to go out and sign a lot of free agents, making them even deeper than they already were. But really, at the end of the day, it's just two very talented teams that know how to play together. They really complement each other.
Your team, the Storm this year, were you the way that the season went? I mean, you add Chris Langhorn to the mix, LeBron not being able to come back this year. You had another outstanding season. Was this season what you had hoped it would be, other than, of course, I know you wanted to make playoffs?
Yeah, the season was definitely up and down, And I think going in, before acquiring Crystal, we were gonna be really small. Luckily we were able to get her, and that kind of solidified things for us in the front court. It seemed like we just could never get things, the ball rolling in our direction. Every time we would take a step forward, it seems like we were taking two or three back. It was just obviously a tough year. I mean, I think, the schedule was difficult for us in the beginning. It never really allowed us to get our footing. But every team deals with stuff like that, And for whatever reason, we just we couldn't get it going. And, by the time we finally did, which was in the last 2 weeks, it was just a little too late. But like I said, obviously we're all, all sitting here disappointed that we're not going to be in the playoffs. For me personally, it's weird, it's strange to you know, just to even have a friend ask me, like, oh, hey, how's the season going? And to actually verbalize, oh, we didn't make the playoffs. That's, it's, you know, it's a bad feeling, and I hope we can all remember what this feels like and use that. And like I said earlier, the lessons we've learned from this year to help us next year.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think people quite realize that with the last year, obviously, you sat out the season, but prior to that, it's been since 2003 since you had missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's kind of feel very strange to be not getting ready for that second season. But, you know, the other thing, though, is, you know, coming up now, you know, is the Camp USA Basketball. And
right.
I know how much you enjoy that, how much that means to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. You know, World Championships, in some ways, in terms of the basketball part of it, can be even more difficult than the Olympics. So this is going to be a challenge for our team. And as usual, you know, it's going to be very competitive in terms of who makes the roster. But we're also going to be, you know, in terms of preparation, one step behind every other team. And that's also a challenge. You know, every other team right now is meeting and they're training and they're going to have a month, maybe even two, under their belts of practice. And, you know, because of, you know, just the way the schedule is, you know, as a full team, I mean, literally by the time the 12 are picked, we'll only have like a week, maybe 2 weeks together, just because people will be joining us from the WNBA finals. Or after the WNBA finals, I should say. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges, but it makes it fun. It's a great group of people, a very talented group of people, and it's always fun to be representing your country.
So, when put together that camp, the list of the people for the camp, you know, we're sort of at that changing of the guard type of situation now. You guys, the veterans, and there's a lot of the youngsters coming in now, you know,
right.
That being added to the mix. You know, like the fact that you've got this mentorship that you have going on with USA Basketball? I mean, are you enjoying that role?
Well, yeah, you know, I think a way to look at it is you're paying it forward. Because when I was 21 and just joining the national team, you know, there were players like Dawn Staley and Cheryl Swoops, you know, Lisa Leslie, you know, those guys were on the team, and they were the mentors for us, you know, for us youngins. And, you know, I definitely remember Cheryl and Dawn having conversations with me, you know, throughout those first couple of years with my involvement with the national team. And it helps, you know, you don't realize it, I think, when you're that older player, but it helps. And now, you know, that I am in that role a little bit, you know, I look forward to, like I said, paying it forward. You know, they help me, and it's my job to help the next generation so the national team, you know, continues to be successful.
And, of course, you always enjoy getting together with Gino again and playing under his tutelage.
Yeah, it's always fun. He makes it enjoyable. He makes it interesting. And there's never a dull moment. And, you know, whenever all of his former players are playing under him with the national team, it's a good time. And not only that, you know, we obviously enjoy playing with each other and playing for him. So it works both ways. It's fun off the court, and it's enjoyable on the court.
You know, we had five Huskies playing when Washington played the Connecticut Sun earlier this week.
Yeah.
You know, five players on the court at the same time. You know, the sisterhood is certainly strong, you know, stronger than ever for the UConn Huskies. You still get a chance to enjoy watching, you know, this current group, Breonna Stewart and that group. And, you know, is it still the same when you look back, you know, over this many, you know, this many years now, not meaning to try and age you here, you know, just to look back at the current, back and be the current group, and you still feel the same way?
Absolutely. You know, I think anyone who has played at UConn, you know, we're forever connected in that way. And, you know, you should forever feel a part of, you know, something bigger than yourself. It's not just basketball either. It's this family atmosphere. So, you know, when I watch UConn games, I always, you know, cheer them on and want them to be successful. And, you know, every now and then when you can get back to campus and meet the younger kids or, you know, even when they come to the WNBA as rookies, you know, first, second, third year players, you know, it's always nice to see them. It's always nice to see them be successful. And I think, you know, you always cheer them on.
Well, so I want to thank you for giving us another great season and another highlight reel collection. You know, I think first and foremost for everybody this year has to be the block shot in the All-Star game and your priceless reaction to getting it.
Hey, you know, when you block one shot every 10 years, you might as well get excited about it.
Well, you know, with the size of some of the players in the Western Conference, like Brittany Griner and all, you know,
yeah.
Camille and Crystal need some help on the shot blocking, so it's good to know that you got their back.
I'll add that to my game.
Thank you very much. Enjoy
no
USA basketball, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.